You're listening to a message from Victory Fort Bonifacio. Get the latest updates by visiting victoryfort.org or like us on facebook.com/victoryfort.
This series is entitled The God Nobody Wants. And the reason why we've titled this as such is because there's certain things about the attributes of God that we like, and there's certain things about God that we don't like. We like the God of love, the God of mercy, the God of grace, the God of provision. We love the God of miracles. We love God that is friendly to us. But when you start talking about certain things about the aspects of God, we kind of cut and paste. We crop God. And what happens is when we do that, we end up with a God who's not the fullness of who He is. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at some of these attributes that are not exactly the most popular things about God, particularly in this day and age. And one of those is the God of holiness, the holy God. Now, the word holy is really sometimes intimidating. When you hear the word holy, it's like holier than thou, somebody who's high above everybody else. That's exactly what it means. But a better term to use that R.C. Sproul, the theologian, uses is the term a cut above the rest. That's really what it is. When you say someone is holy or someone is holier, what he is he's a cut above the rest. He's not like everyone else. And that's who God is. And we cannot take that away from God. Actually, when you really, really think about it, holiness is not something you should disdain. When you think about being a cut above the rest, in a world that's full of mediocrity, you really want someone who's a cut above the rest. You want someone who's excellent. In a world of unfaithfulness, you want someone who's faithful. When you start thinking about holiness in a world where when you start asking yourself, in a world full of instability, you want someone who's reliable. In a sense, you want someone who's a cut above the rest. You don't want someone who's just like everybody else. And that's where this word holiness, in a world of liars, you're looking for truth. And in a world of sin, you're really looking for holiness. It's this whole idea of holiness that really separates and makes God distinct from any other God out there. He's not like everybody else. He's holy. Now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, it says, each of the four living creatures, this is speaking, I'm not going to go and digress into this. We've got a lot of verses to cover today for you to understand the vastness of the wonders of the holiness of God. But this is a picture of heaven, the throne room of God in heaven. And there are all these wonderful, amazing creatures that are magnificent, holy, a cut above the rest among themselves. And yet they were there with that six wings and covered with eyes, all hard to describe what they are, even under its wings, day and night, 24 hours, nonstop, 365 days, so throughout eternity, these guys never stop saying. And they were declaring this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. There is no attribute of God that you will find repeated three times as this, twice, once in the Old Testament and one in the New. There's none. You'll never see a verse that says love, love, love. You'll never see a verse that says mercy, 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 grace, grace, grace. There's none. There's only two sets of verses that actually says holy, holy, holy. In those days, they didn't have highlighters and markers and pens and paper. And so the way they did that, when they said holy, holy, it was an emphasis. It was language. So it was the way they emphasized. They made make sure that you don't miss the point and underscore and underline the truth of this word is they repeated themselves three times. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was. This is who He is. This is His characteristic of God. Not just who was, who is. He's presently like that. He's again underscoring this three times. This is called a chiastic, a chiasmus. Is to come. He's repeating himself three times in three different manners. He's combining these two words and sandwiching the word the Lord God Almighty in a chiastic. If you ever see, and if you ever read your Bible, I'm teaching, I'm not trying take this any deeper than that, but to understand sometimes the language of Scripture is called a chiastic or a chiasmus. where something is repeated over and over, and sandwiched in between those repetitions is the whole highlight. It's an emphasis. This is who God is. He's holy. If you want to understand who God is, you want to understand His holiness. But the question for us this morning is, why do we disdain that? What is it about God's holiness that causes us to think, or holiness in general, that makes us not want it? One reason is because sometimes we think it's boring. You know, when you say, oh, guy's holy, that guy's boring. Doesn't have a life. Or sometimes we think it's someone who's being deprived. When someone's living a holy life or living in holiness, he's being deprived of certain things. He's not having fun. That's why we don't want it. And that's why we disdain this idea of holiness. Sometimes it's not just that. It's when we think of holiness, that means it's about suffering. And sometimes it's about ignorance. We don't really know what it is, which is why we want to talk about it this morning. Sometimes it's being monastic. The idea that if I became holy, that means I'll never wear makeup again. How many of you women are scared of that? And how many of you men are scared that women will have that? And then finally, it's homely. In other words, something that's holy is ugly. It's not the prettiest thing. Now, my goal this morning and over the next 3 weeks, we're going to try and unpack this God whom nobody wants and approach it from Scripture. And really, today, we're going to be studying a lot of verses to capture the essence of the holiness of God. My real text this morning is out of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. It begins with the words, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple." This was a description of the holiness of God. And it began with the words, "The year that King Uzziah died." This is important. In fact, if you're going to understand Isaiah chapter 6, you need to understand who Uzziah is. Uzziah was a king. He was a king of Israel. He was a very great king, actually. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 9 speaks about this guy. He built towers in Jerusalem, the corner gate and the valley gate and the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He was a brilliant engineer. He was a brilliant leader. He became a king at 16 years old. And he ruled for 52 years. He was brilliant. He was a different kind of guy. And he came from the right pedigree. And that's why Isaiah saw this. He was contrasting. This is the year that this man died. This great king died. He also built the towers in the wilderness. This guy was expansive. This guy had, if he had taken strength finders, he would have significance inside of there. He wanted to build big things, cisterns, because he had much livestock. He was into agriculture. He was into livestock. He was rich. Uzziah had a well-trained army. He didn't just have a sloppy, undisciplined. He had a well-trained army. In fact, I don't have time to read all those verses, but he had them well-equipped. Had all the more. If this was a modern-day army, this was a well-equipped, well-trained army. And it says in Jerusalem, he made devices and invented them. He was a genius. At 16 years old, this guy became king and lasted for 52 years. Have you ever heard of a president of any nation that has lasted 52 years? This guy reigned longer than David. He was a great king. It was a glorious moment. In other words, this guy was majestic. He was magnificent. He built great. He was an inventor. Towers and corner defenses that the soldiers could shoot arrows and hurl large stones from the walls. Brilliant man. The other events of Uzziah's reign from beginning to end are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. From the beginning to the end, Isaiah was tracking the career of this great guy. This was the frame of the prophet Isaiah when he experiences the holiness of God. God's using a contrast of the story of this great king vis-a-vis the holiness of God. He's making a contrast. He's showing him the difference. The majesty of man versus the majesty of God. The greatness of man versus the greatness of God. The expanse of man versus the expanse of God, if you may. And it says that Isaiah recorded them. He was writing this. And so now back to our scripture in Isaiah 6, this man has died. It was worrisome. There was no one to replace. It would be like a great president that you're about to replace with somebody and you weren't sure if the next guy who was going to come along could actually replace him and do the great things he was doing or he has done. Isaiah was worried. And out of there, he sees this vision. I saw the Lord. It was a vision of God. This idea of he was seeing God in a vision. This joining together of this contrast between Uzziah and the Lord. He's saying, I'm seeing this vision. He's writing this thing. He's recording all the great things. He's summarizing the great things of this great king. And all of a sudden, he sees this vision of God. And he sees this God and says, this God is highly exalted. Now, let me contrast to you the life of this guy. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, Uzziah was 16 years old. Have you ever heard of president was 16 years old? This guy was brilliant. This was a wonder kind. This was one of those kids that could actually rule. Now, if you study the kings of Israel, there were guys that became kings at the age of 8, 16, very young, but they didn't last 52 years. This guy did. He was amazing. And that's why the glory of this man was so much that Isaiah was being taught the contrast. He says, I saw the Lord. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah and his fame. This guy was famous. Spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. This was the contrast. This is what we're looking at. But the interesting thing about this guy was he wasn't just successful and he wasn't just magnificent. He actually did what was right in the eyes of God. He was a good guy. In fact, he would be what we would call a disciple. In fact, if you study the 2 Chronicles chapter 26, you're going to find this story. He had a guy, Zechariah, one of the priests, was actually discipling him. Interesting story. Now, here's what happens. Isaiah sees this, and he says, high and exalted. He sees that God is high and exalted above this man. He sees this vision, and this is what you need to see today, folks. If you're going to see the holiness of God, you're going to have to see that God is highly exalted, high above anything. That's what happened to him. How many of you heard that the NBA was in town? Did anybody watch the NBA? Well, you know that's a historic moment. That's the very first NBA game in Southeast Asia. How many of you know that was a holy moment? That was a cut above the rest. Hello? Hello? Do you understand what holiness is? Some of you don't like this idea. That's what it means to be holy. It's a cut above the rest. There's nothing like it. It's never happened. It would be like playing with Dwight Howard. You know how that is? He's a cut above the rest. He's high and exalted. That's exactly what it means. Now, the reason why you don't want that is because you don't understand why anyone would pay 30,000 pesos to watch a basketball game. Hello? Because you're ignorant of how holy that is. Sometimes our ignorance causes us to be indifferent. Now, there were people who paid 1,800 and stood for 2 hours because they still thought it was holy. It was worth standing there for 2 hours. The point being, it's high and exalted, it's different. And it's not just Dwight Howard, it's actually, there's no comparison. There's nothing to base it on. In other words, this is just so out of this world, it would be not Dwight Howard, be LeBron. It's just, this guy is he's a freak. I mean, there's nothing like him. I mean, his body, the way he moves, the way he runs, the way he jumps, there's nothing above the rest. And this is what he was saying. I'm trying to bring it down to some of you who are already falling asleep with me on your terms. No comparison. above the rest, highly exalted, he says. But more importantly, he was seated on the throne. He wasn't just high and exalted. This was the issue with Uzziah. Uzziah needed to understand that God was holy and that he was separate and different and highly exalted above all things. And yet, he was seated on the throne. Believe it or not, whether you experience it or realize, this is critical for your faith. Is to understand that God is not just highly and exalted and holy and wonderful and awesome and no comparison and no competition. God sits on the throne of this earth. The day you realize that is the day your faith gets established and built and strong. Uzziah didn't get that. After he became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. And by the way, if you're under discipleship and been through Victory Weekend and done all of that, that's not a guarantee you're not going to get to happen to this. Are you still with me? When you don't see the holiness of God, that's the problem with our disdain for holiness. It's not really about holiness. It's pride. Uzziah wanted to do what he wanted to do and didn't want to ascribe to anybody. He didn't want to follow God. He just wanted to do what he wanted. He wanted to, some of us give lip service to God, come to church, but really don't want the holiness of God. God's saying, I want you to be separate. I want you to be different. You know, one of the other things you have to understand about holiness is about exclusivity. When you say something is holy, when your marriage is holy, it's exclusive. You don't have any other person. This is a holy relationship. How many of you want to make sure that when you get married, your marriage is holy? You know, that the marriage is exclusive. That if I got married, whenever I talk to people, you got to understand something about marriage. This is exclusive. When I get married to my wife, I'm not planning to have another relationship. How many of you want, I don't really like a holiness thing. You know what's funny about us is we don't like a holiness thing. What if your wife said to you, honey, I love you so much and I'm going to get married to you, but once every 10 years, I'm just going to have sex with my ex-boyfriend. It's not going to be long, just an hour, once every 10 years. You see, we don't like this holiness thing until we become the victim of it. And then we think we can fool around with this thing and rearrange this thing, and then we start having problems in our marriages. Because there's something exclusive about it. But this guy, this king got so powerful, and that's the danger of our era today. People are so much like kings. They're so powerful. They can do anything. I don't have to fight anymore. I don't have to believe in God anymore. I can eat every day. I can live like a king. That includes me. What happens next is he was unfaithful to the Lord, his God, and entered the temple. What he did was he entered the temple. Basically, what this means is, he says, I can do whatever I want. I'm the king of my life. I can burn incense. I can do whatever I want. The priest, the Bible says, if you look at 2 Chronicles 26, the priests were chasing him. About 80 of them were chasing him and stopping him and saying, don't do that. That's pride. Uzziah, don't do that. But this guy got so arrogant with life and said, I'm going to pay God lip service, but basically, I do what I want to do. And that's the, at the end of the day, folks, that's the issue of holiness. We don't want holiness because we want to do what we want to do. It's basically just pride. Pride to think that we can do it. Uzziah, who had his censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. He was ready to do it himself. He was arguing with this priest. He was actually telling this priest he was angry at them. These were the people who represented God, and he was mad at them, saying, no, you don't tell me what to do. I go ahead and do it. While he was raging at the priests, leprosy hits him. It says, while he was raging at the priests in the presence of before the incense of altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. Now today, leprosy is easy to treat. And that's why today, You don't really have kings like Uzziah. All of us basically can live like kings. We can solve our problems. Before, you needed a king to assemble food, agriculture, and infrastructure. Now you don't need that. You got it. You get an internet connection. How many of you know you can do life? In those days, leprosy was unclean. It was cursed. It means it was just hopeless. There was no cure for it. In other words, when you contracted it, you were shunned away. You were thrown away. It doesn't matter if you're a king, you have a problem when you have leprosy. And Isaiah was taking note of this reality of this king's life. He had a great run, but he failed to acknowledge the holiness of God, that God is not just your pleasant little genie in your back pocket that you pull out whenever you want. He is holy. He's nice and he's gracious and he's a gentleman. He won't impose himself, but it doesn't change the fact that God is holy. And leprosy breaks out of this man's life. All of a sudden, from being a king who's successful, genius, brilliant, he finds himself where the nation are shunning him away. His wife, his women are all staying away from him. Get away from me. You're cursed. You're hopeless. We can't solve your problem. How many of you are following this story? This is the backdrop of Isaiah 6. If you want to understand the fullness of the holiness of God, you got to understand something. He is not like you and me. He really isn't. And please don't just say the man up there, because he's not just the man up there. King Uzziah and had leprosy until the day he died. He forgot something. Mr. King, God is holy. He's a cut above you. He had to live in a separate house. He had to be detached from his family and from his wealth and from riches. This was the contrast that Isaiah was bringing, or the Lord was bringing to Isaiah. He was trying to make him understand the separation. And he was banned from the temple. He was leprous. He was banned. He was not allowed. Some people, I hear people ask this, if God is a God of love, then why in the world did God make a place like hell? Have you ever heard that? If God is a God of love, then why did he create hell? What was that for? Well, it's very simple. It's for people like this guy. I was reading an article of the top most influential atheist women, mostly celebrities, and each one basically saying, we're king of our lives, we don't need God, he doesn't even exist. You know why God made hell? Because God sits on the throne of the entire universe. He's the king of all creation, and because he loves you so much and respects you, and you choose not to live with him, he made a place just for you called hell. He actually loves you. He's respecting you. Because you said, I don't want to believe in God. I don't think God exists. Okay, let's make a place because the entire universe is mine. And at some point in time when you die, I will still be the king. I have to make a special place for people who don't like me. And that place is called hell. Do you get it? Some people are just so out of this world, they don't get it. You're not kicking God out of this world. He's kicking you out. Because without holiness, you will not see the Lord. Holiness is critical to your faith and mine. He was banned from the temple of the Lord. Okay, you don't want God? Sure, that's okay. God's not mad at you. He's actually sorry for you because he's going to have to put you in this place called hell. Specially designed for people who don't like God. He's still with me. He's banned from the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted. This is Isaiah saying, wow. And he says, the train of his robe filled the temple. You know, the train of the robe is like the bride. You know, the bride has a train. My son's getting married next month, and all brides have trains. Dun, dun, dun. You know how the bride, I don't know what that's for, really. I mean, it's like every bride has to do that. Have you ever wondered what trains are for? You know, the trains are for transporting people, but this train, this train, the bigger the train, the more important. You got all these weird trains these days. This whole idea of the train of Diana. This is Diana's train. It was long. It was actually hard to maneuver. They had to maneuver this thing. Her daughter-in-law is smarter. She's had a shorter train, but hers was really long. When she walked in, it was long. There are guys said, oh, it's these really long trains. The train of their robe filled the temple. The record of all trains is in China. This train is 2 kilometers long. The train of their robe filled the stem. You know why the trains are? You know, the history of trains was because fabrics were so expensive that if you wore a gown that had a long train, what it was saying, you were a VIP, you were royalty, you were important. No one can afford what you're doing. So the longer your train was, the more VIPs you were, because you only wore that gown once in your wedding. That's what it meant. It was supposed to be glorious, splendid, amazing. Nothing quite like it. That's what Isaiah was saying. The train of his robe filled the temple. He's amazing. There's no one like him. That's why you can't get him. That's why you need Jesus, and that's why you need the Holy Spirit, so that he can be revealed to you, because his train fills the entire temple. This is nothing. And he doesn't do it for one wedding. He does it each and every day. But our eyes are blind to see it. But the holiness of God is before us, and we trade it for distractions, and we trade it for petty stuff. And God said, I want to share my holiness with you. I want you to enjoy my holiness. Psalm chapter 29, verse 2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Ascribe to the Lord everything you do. You say, bravo, God, bravo, God, bravo, amazing God. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. What that means is beautiful. There's no word for it. Splendor. Love is a many splendor things. I can't explain it. One of the most amazing mountain ranges in the world is called the Rocky Mountains. It's about 3,000 kilometers long. It's beautiful. If you're flying in from the United States to the United States, flying west or flying east, rather, you'll see it. It stretches from the north tip of Canada all the way down to New Mexico, spanning about 7 or 9 states. Crazy. That's the train of his robe. Actually, that's just one segment of the train of his robe. It's massive. In 2009, I was in Utah visiting and consulting with a church. A friend of mine had a very large church among Mormons. Mormons were getting saved and said, what do we do next? And I was consulting with him, and I stayed in this place, in the house of a friend, actually, with my son Joshua, and we were looking at the Rockies, just in Utah, the small portion of it. Massive, massive, massive thing. In fact, if you walked into one portion, just the foothill, not even the top of this, the foothill of it, you would feel like you're a dwarf. When we were getting close to the mountain, we sat there, and it was getting eerie. It was getting so oppressive. Just in the foothill. We weren't even in the mountain yet. And as we were walking closer and closer, there was this cascade, this massive cascade. It was like this avalanche of water. You know what it was? It was just snow melting. That's the beauty of God's splendor. The train of his robe is so massive. We trade it for irrelevant stuff. And I started researching about the Rockies, and I said, there are probably 10,000 spots like this in the Rockies. They're beautiful. In fact, that's the problem with holiness. The real problem with holiness is it's like a boyfriend who has it all. He's the dream boat. He's got the face of Brad Pitt. He's got the body of whoever. He's got the basketball game of LeBron. He's got the money of Warren Buffett. He's got it all together. He's got it all made. And he's so handsome, and he's wise, and he's good, and he's amazing, and he's kind, and he's gentle. That's the problem with holiness, is because when you get close to him, you understand how ugly you are. That is actually the problem with it. Imagine a boyfriend like that, and the more you get around him, you say, oh no. That was what was happening with Isaiah. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces, and two, they covered their feet, and with two, they were flying. You know, they were covering their faces because God was so holy, these creatures just couldn't look at him. Just this, too much. The seraphims, by the way, these were fiery angels. These were a different breed of angels. These guys had fire. They were pure angels. They actually brought purity. They were surrounded by fire. They had fire all over them. And they were so pure, and yet they couldn't look at the purity of God. And we take God for granted. His holiness. And they covered their feet, which was a symbol of humility. And they were saying, I can't do this. I can't look at God. And they were flying around him saying, God, just tell us what to do. Just tell us what to do. We're here to serve you. Just flying around him. The majesty of his holiness. And they were calling to one another. There's that second time. It's mentioned in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Holy. Holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's his person. You cannot detach God from his holiness. You know why you get bored with God? You don't know his holiness. You treat it as religion. You treat it as compliance. When you understand the holiness of God, there's nothing to be bored about God. Whole earth is filled with his glory. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, you're going to see the glory of God. You can actually see the glory of God in the storm, amen? It's a scary thing when you see a storm. Here's what Isaiah says, woe to me. I don't deserve this God. This boyfriend's too much. I look like a rat here. I should die. I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm just ugly. I'm just bad. I live among an unclean people. My eyes have seen the King. When you see who God is, that's the effect on you. You want to, you that's why you want, you don't want him, is because God, that's what he said. I've seen, I'm ruined. I don't want, the more I closer I get, the uglier I get. The more I get in there, the more I realize how small I am. The more I get in there, the more it's just horrible every time I get there. He's the King, the Lord God Almighty. Then one of the angels flew to me with a live coal in his hand. He takes this coal from the burning altar and he drops it in his mouth and touched his mouth. See, he has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away from you. Your sin is atoned for. And here's what this holiness is all about. The only way you're going to stand holy, the only way you're going to make holiness is when your sin is atoned for. When you're made holy by God Himself and no one else. In other words, here's what this means, guys. I'm ugly. I'm horrible. I don't have a family pedigree. I don't deserve this. But God says, I'm going to cleanse you of all of that and I'm going to marry you. And I'll give you the right train for your robe. It's like parking your car in a slot in a building. And you got this car. And then you park it. Right beside you is this 9 million peso Ferrari. And all of a sudden your nice car became ugly. You know how it feels when something's nicer than you. And so you go in and you're getting out. And then a man walks up to you and says, you know what? Hey, Joey, see that Ferrari over there, Remus? That's actually yours. How many of you know when you see a Ferrari and you say, you know, I don't like Ferraris. It's hard to park that. Someone will scratch that. You know. For traffic, yan, problema pa yan. You know how you do that with holy things? Things that are above you? It's not really that you disdain it. You're envy, aren't you? Until somebody says, you know what? Actually, that car's for you. Oh, I love Ferraris. That's holiness. You disdain it because you can't have it until someone says, no, that's for you. That is for you. Joey, that was you, who you were meant to be. That's where you're supposed to ride. That's the quality of life that you're supposed to. And I've atoned for your guilt. I've touched your lips with a burning altar, with a coal to atone for your sins. And this coal's not going to hurt you. Because Jesus took away the pain of the coal. He was the one who got burned in the altar. So that sin may be atoned for. So that it may touch you and cleanse you and purify you and live the life you've always were meant to live. In the holiness and the purity of your God. Not because of anything you've done, but because of what Jesus did. As I close, John chapter 12, verse 31, Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory, and spoke about him. Holy God, may we never have the sin of Uzziah. May we never come to that place of pride thinking we can do life without you. Could you look up here for a minute? God wants to marry you, man. That might sound weird to some of you guys, but He does. He wants to do life with you. A cut above the rest. A cut above the rest. Splendid life. Glorious life. Beautiful life. Endless, endless life. Holiness of God. He wants to give it to you. Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. It didn't say do holy. It says be. Just be. Just be. Just keep loving Him. Keep realizing you're so beautiful and you like me. Okay. I love you. I'm this ugly and you like me. Wow. Why in the world would I trade that? You're giving me a Ferrari for this? Sure, God. Whatever you say. You want me to drive this way? Yes. You want me to polish it? Yes. What? Tell me what you want. Because you're holy. And you love me. That's what makes you holy. Is you could love someone. You know, when you go around and around, it'll never end. And you just keep lifting your hands and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Who was, who is, and is to come. Seal this truth in our hearts this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.